Welcome to the Green Divas Radio Show. Host Green Diva Meg, co-host Green Diva Lisa, and sidekick Green Dude Scott share resources and ideas as they explore fun and low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green. And now, your host, Green Diva Meg.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Green Divas Radio Show.
Good morning.
It is a fine fall morning. A little frosty.
Uh-huh. It's a little frosty. Yeah, you snapped your fingers at me when.
Oh, you don't like that, do you?
What was that?
Because your microphone was like a mile away, and I'm like, dude, we're going.
Guys,
get with the program.
Guys usually know where their microphone is hanging. Okay, there's not an issue with that. Thank you very much.
We miss Green Dude Scotty when he's not in the studio with us.
Well, this is the first time all three of us have been in the studio together for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's because
awesome.
We're out there living rough, you know, back in the dark ages with no electricity.
So you're on with Green Diva Meg
and Green Diva Lisa.
And the guy with the microphone, Green Dude Scott.
The guy with the microphone. Yeah, we have a fun show today. I am so excited to all be together again.
I am too.
I mean, we've had some fun. We've had some interesting guests.
Oh, yeah. Oh, on the show. Yes,
yeah. And that too. But I just want to take a moment to mention our online media partners that are doing such a wonderful job. You know, letting people know about the Green Divas and what we're up to and growing our little family. We've got care2.com, eatdrinkbetter.com, earthgarage.com, ecome.com, ecoseed.org, greenrevolutionradio.com, feelgoodstyle.com, Grateful Dread Public Radio, gdreadradio.net. I know.
Keep going.
Everybody. And now today we're going to have a Green Diva correspondent report from Lima Brown, and she's in Gulf Shores, Alabama. Mm-hmm. She's got some interesting stuff to tell us about.
She always does.
I know. Well, she lets me know ahead of time, and for you, it's a surprise. And then
I love surprises.
Our interview guest today is Prescott Frost.
Now, this is no surprise to me. I've done a lot of homework.
You've done
on
a lot
him.
Of homework.
I am so he's you know living the things that I've been talking about for so long.
I like that
excited.
Name.
Well, and for good reason, I'm sure, for a lot of things. But he's an organic rancher out in Nebraska, is it?
Bassett, Nebraska. I've driven through there many times over the years.
And yes, he is related to, he is the great-grandson of Robert Frost. And I had so much fun last night going through Robert Frost poems.
Oh, I know him. I know him really well.
Do you?
Yeah, call him Bobby.
Bobby.
Bobby. The only poem I ever remembered is a Robert Frost poem.
Well, interestingly, the one that we all remember, and Lisa, you want to recite that stanza that we all.
The stanza that he uses on his website.
Yeah,
is
part of his business motto,
and it's part of his business motto, and it's one of my favorite poems ever. Anyway, it's the poem is "Stopping by the Woods on a Snowy Evening," and the last stanza is, "These woods are lovely, dark and deep, but I have promises to keep and miles to go before I sleep and miles to go before I sleep."
Right.
I actually use that a lot on my daily life.
I mean,
we got
right
a long way to go before we can lay down at the end of the day.
But he uses his tagline for his business, for his organic farm, which we've really looked at extensively, and it really is everything that we want to have in a sustainable food system concept, but is promises kept.
Yes.
Isn't that sweet?
Yes.
I just really like that. But one of the poems I found, and I might inflict myself on you here with this, because it was so relevant, and all of them were so interesting to read, and you could see a philosophy of nature throughout Robert Frost's poetry. But this one I thought was totally relevant, called "On a Tree Fallen Across the Road."
Of which, of course, we've
did
had
we not have?
Many, many, many of those. Unusually
of weather,
large
or
trees and branches that should not have been falling.
Oh,
have fallen.
Well, yeah.
Or they should. I mean, they
we shouldn't have had snow.
Yeah, well, that's the deal.
Four-letter word that we all hate so much
at this time of year with the leaves.
Except for those skiing people.
Climate change.
The skiing people,
well,
like
what,
your brother.
Really? Yeah, I know.
Or brother.
We all
yours.
Ski.
Plural. Girls. Brother.
Yeah, but he's the only
what
one.
Do we all ski.
We all ski.
I.
We all ski.
We all ski.
I know him. Yeah, that's another that Polish guy.
We all ski.
Yeah. We all ski. That guy. We all ski.
We all ski.
But no, I
don't ski. I just thought I would read this poem just for fun because it was so relevant. The tree, and this is "On a Tree Fallen Across the Road." And who in the Northeast didn't have this past week, right? "The tree, the tempest with a crash of wood, throws down in front of us, is not bar, our passage to our journey's end for good. but just to ask us who we think we are, insisting always on our own way. So she likes to halt us in our runner tracks and make us get down in a foot of snow, debating what to do without an axe. And yet she knows obstruction is in vain. We will not be put off the final goal. We have it hidden in us to attain. Not though we have to seize earth by the pole, and tired of aimless circling in one place, steer straight off after something into space. I don't know. I just had to do that out loud.
Well,
I was,
you know,
having
like
fun.
With all of these natural events that have been so dramatic everywhere, it makes us look at everything differently. If we just take a minute. We can take a minute in any time of year and pay attention to nature and learn something.
Well, I have to tell you, and this really comes from living on the farm for so long, who are we to be upset about what weather does?
Exactly.
It is a little arrogant, right? I like that he uses the pronoun she, and yet she knows obstruction is in vain.
Right.
Because we have this obsession to move forward, plow through, you know. And so a fallen tree just isn't going to stop us. Well, although, you know, it stopped a few people this week who had to really sit without electricity.
Okay, now, see, again, here's the issue. I mean, how long ago was it? All right, it was a long time ago since we all did without electricity, but, I mean, as in our daily lives. But is it really the end all? I mean, come on. Take a deep breath and live without it for a while and don't panic.
I think Lisa and Jenny didn't have electricity.
For 5 days, yeah.
Yeah, we were out 5 days.
Were you?
Again, second time around now.
Well,
2 months ago we were out.
Fireplace, though?
Yeah.
So we didn't have a fireplace or anything. It was cold.
Yeah,
and blankets and each other, and we did what we did. But
yeah.
You know, as much as I might complain about certain things, I only lost power for 5 hours.
I know.
So I got the whole family from
everybody cycling in and out of Megan's house.
Yeah.
But,
which is
good. I mean, not so long ago, I mean, houses weren't super insulated. And, I mean, you know, when it was cold, it was cold.
Well, it's good to pay attention and move with the changes in our seasons and the changes. I mean, when I was reading about Prescott here, he made big changes based on what his new model is. You know, things have gotten so awry, and he looked back at how to do things sustainably, and he ended up realizing that he wanted to grow organic soy and corn, and he realized that he needed to have cattle eating the grass on the fields that
fertilizing.
When they weren't being sown,
right?
And then but they were getting stuck in the mud because it was a muddy soil. So he sold the family farm and moved to the sandlands of Nebraska, which was suited. You know, so he.
Well, lucky him that he could go to the sandlands of, you know, I mean, that's, you know, in an article I just read recently, I mean, the percentage of the planet that is ideal for growing anything is pretty small.
Yeah, but we can do such a better job of diversity in our growing if we just pay attention a little better and not.
It's a little more difficult than that, but yes.
It is a little more difficult than that. But, you know, there are people like Prescott who are walking the walk and doing what.
See,
we all need to walk the walk a little bit.
I, like Prescott, really think that we should aim to reduce the industrial food production for farming, which I know is a tough argument when you have people that are hungry and theoretically. Mm-hmm. But there's so much food that goes to waste. I mean, come
on. Exactly.
Anyway, I'm going to go off on a tangent.
I know. It's easy. This is a really dear and dear subject to us.
So then we have Sleeping Naked is Green today. We're going to talk about coconut oil, the 801 uses of coconut oil.
181 uses.
Oh, man. Anyway, and Take Two Repurposing by G.D. Lisa. You're going to talk about hair dyes from natural ingredients.
Things that you can take right out of your kitchen cabinet and dye your hair with.
Just not necessarily repurposing, but it's a natural, you know, do it yourself.
I
DIY.
Think it's repurposing. It's not using stuff that it's using stuff that you probably have and not using toxic stuff.
And Scotty, you've been your long anticipated report on the greening of the military.
Well, yeah, olive drab, but no, it's not so much greening, but it's basically you know, the necessary evil of the tools of war, and, you know, a lot of people wish we didn't have to have, but we do, and how they've gotten better about being more sustainable. And when it comes to military action, they better big sustainable.
Well, I mean, you've got large groups of people in the desert, you know, and you've got to keep them cool and clean and, you know. So
well, history tells us that if you run out of fuel while, you know, trying to combat the enemy, you're in big, big trouble.
Right.
Do.
Even Napoleon found that out. What do you say? That his troops traveled on by their stomachs?
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's why he had some amazing food came out of that.
And Washington learned that, too.
Yeah, we all, you know, a lot of militaries have. But today's military is, you know, they're way ahead of us in the civilian world and
all right,
being
so
sustainable.
You've got a report on that.
Yeah, I got some more.
I just want to mention that we have two new sponsors coming on board, and we'll hear from them next week in detail. But buygreen.com, one of my favorite places on the web to go, they have a really cool rating system. So you really understand what you're buying, and it's sustainability, and it's manufacturing, and it's usage.
It's a trusted source and a really friendly, user-friendly
site. And then we have eco-friendly printer.
Yes.
And that is
fan.
Yeah, that's really exciting stuff. There's just so many different ways. I know we don't print the way we used to, but we can now print in an eco-friendly way.
Uh-huh.
All of us.
Right.
So anyway, let's go. I think Lima's on the phone.
All right.
Hello, Lima.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Pretty excited.
Oh, so glad you called in. How's everything in Gulf Shores, Alabama?
Pretty nice. It's warming up a little chilly yesterday.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, what does that mean?
Well, that means like 66 degrees.
Notice that we're laughing.
Oh, my
God. I know.
So,
you all recovering from the snow up there?
Yeah, isn't that ridiculous?
I know. It's major.
It's kind of interesting.
It's 36 degrees right now here.
I know. Is it? Oh, I'm so sorry.
We're coming down. Suffering. Got rooms ready for us?
I think that's it. We should just go down and
visit.
Yep,
let's go.
Yeah.
You all come visit anytime. We'd love to have everyone come down here.
Now, you told me you were going to talk about an interesting green zoo.
Yeah, you know, we're really excited down here. Who knew? Who knew? In Alabama, there's the little, it's the Alabama Gulf Coast Zoo. It's working on being the first fully sustainable zoo. Now, it had become famous after Hurricane Ivan. There was a little show called The Little Zoo That Could on the Animal Planet.
Ah.
Yeah, I don't know if y'all had seen that. They had some episodes. And now they're planning on moving a few miles farther from the beach. Basically, it was because it really got really bad flooded during Ivan, and they had to evacuate all the animals. So now someone donated some land just like a few miles farther north, and I think a reality show is in the works again. And they're trying to raise the money for the amazing green zoo.
The amazing? Well, what makes a zoo green?
Well, you know what? I was kind of trying to look at some of the details. Everything from they want to have wind, solar energy, they want to have gardens that are sustainable sources to feed all the animals.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, it really does. And they're also working on, I mean, I don't know the details on this, but like a sustainable, like, septic system for everything.
Wow.
So I couldn't find that much information about that, but I think that would be really interesting.
I wonder if they're composting and creating fertilizer from some of the animal poo.
I mean, that would make perfect sense.
Right?
I know that when I lived in Wilmington, Delaware, I used to go with my buckets and get the llama poo to put into my garden because it was... and you could put it in right away because it wouldn't burn it up. The nitrogen was just the right...
Llama poo.
Yeah, it just seems like a natural... Like it just makes so much sense having like the natural environment and trying to, you know, incorporate all that. And I looked up a little bit, you know, if there was any other zoos like that, like in the world. And I guess like in South Korea, they have a proposed design. In France, they're renovating one. But as far as I knew, there wasn't one that was like, you know, from the ground up, basically trying to be fully sustainable.
Well, I'm hoping that they're as humane and whatever as possible. I mean, some zoos have issues with and controversy about the types of animals they keep and how they keep them. And I'm assuming
I just don't like zoos.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough.
And now I do understand that because I think about that too. I mean, I think there is the balance, you know, cause, you know, especially the greenies, you know, thinking of caged animals and things and wanting them to have the best care and things. But I do think people have learned a lot from animals, you know, that have been
that's
used
true.
In like natural parks to become more environmental. But that's a balance, I think.
Yeah. So, well, I'll have, when we take our trip down to Gulf Shores, Alabama, we are going to go to.
Please.
We're going to go to what is it, the Gulf Coast Zoo?
Yeah, it's called Alabama Gulf Coast Zoo, and actually they have a website, like a fundraising event. It's like a nonprofit, but it's going to be called Amazing Green Zoo. I guess pretty exciting.
All right. Well, thanks so much for calling in, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Thank you so much.
Stay warm down there.
Yeah, definitely. You all too. Take care.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, let's go on a little break. We'll be back in a couple minutes. Please stay tuned.
Good morning.
What the heck happened to you last night?
Oh, it's just my old mattress. You know, I want one of those memory foam mattresses, but they're so toxic. I really can't go there.
You have to try Essentia. They're the only company making outrageously comfortable, all-natural foam mattresses. You know, like Tempur-Pedic, but healthier.
Really? Essentia?
Really. And I hear they're giving away $300 with the purchase of any mattress if you mention the Green Divas radio show. Find a store near you at myessentia.com.
Welcome to Green Light with the original Green Diva, Megan McWilliams. Useful ideas for low-stress green living straight from the Fun Green Divas radio show.
Do you want a low-stress Green Diva kitchen? Find out how, coming right up. Are you a foodie or eco-fashionista, or just curious about matters relating to sustainable food and eco-style? Important Media has some of the best blogs on the internet for practical and easy-to-use information from some of the most experienced green bloggers on the internet. Join the Green Divas on two of our favorites, EatDrinkBetter.com and FeelGoodStyle.com, and learn and share more about easy green living. Find out about all the Important Media blogs at ImportantMedia.com. A Green Diva's kitchen is yummy, healthy, earth-friendly, and low stress. Here are just a few ways to make your kitchen a Green Diva kitchen. Use cloth napkins. They don't take any more energy to clean. Use eco-friendly sponges and reusable cloths for cleanup. Always use food-safe, non-toxic, and biodegradable cleaning products. Minimize garbage output by composting. Even if you don't have a garden, I bet you have a neighbor or community garden that can use it. Also, reduce garbage by recycling all that crazy food packaging. When food shopping, remember your reusable bags and try to buy products with minimal or recyclable packaging.
To find out more about the Green Divas radio show and podcast, visit thegreendivas.com.
Now more from the Green Divas and the token testosterone green dude, Scott.
All right.
You should hear all the cackling going on in here. Oh, my God.
I know we are, like,
lots
very
blah, 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 blah.
Caffeinated this morning. Welcome back to
and I got shushed.
The Green Divas radio show. You're on with Green Diva Meg.
And Green Diva Lisa.
And quiet Green Dude Scott.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yes.
Well, you shushed
Well,
me,
guess what it's time for?
Sleeping naked is green. At least Vanessa Farquharson, who wrote the book, thought so. Using her hilarious book, we will explore and expand on some of the 366 journal entries where she shares her year-long journey of trying new ways of being green on a daily basis. This segment is brought to you by Essentia, the only natural memory foam mattress in the world. MyEssentia.com. And, of course, the Green Divas radio show.
All right.
You're right over there?
Lisa's.
I'm stuck. My hair is stuck in my headphones. And, oh.
Okay. So I don't know if coconut oil would help with that, but it might.
It might. I think it does.
Well,
it helps with everything.
One of Ms. Farquharson's entries for November was use coconut oil to shine my shoes.
That was a new one to me, and yeah. I use coconut oil for lots of things, and
really?
That was a new one for me. Shine your shoes.
Well, what do you use coconut oil for?
Cooking,
right? So it's the coconut oil, apparently. Now, 2 years ago, my doctor was like, every woman should take at least 2 tablespoons of coconut oil a day.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, really? So
I put it in my shakes sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Huh? My morning smoothies. I put my coconut oil in.
So you're talking about your shake.
Shake it, baby. No,
and I do that, too.
It's loaded with omega-6. Which is good. We need that. But lauric acid, it's got these fatty acids that are very good. It's good fat versus bad fat.
Okay. Right.
So lauric acid, apparently, properties are it's antimicrobial, antibacterial, antioxidant, antifungal, and soothing.
Okay, so
and
here's soothing. A question. Don't give me the answer. Where do you get coconut oil?
I get it in a jar at the...
yeah, you break open a coconut. No, really.
I get it at the health food store, at Whole Foods, at different places that I do my food shopping.
Actually, I think King's has them. I think most grocery stores are carrying it now because it's getting popular.
I like the and I go for the organic. And there's different, you know, I also do a coconut butter, which is a little bit, you know, they did different things with the oils. Well, and you don't, it doesn't go rancid.
Like for your
so
toast?
You don't need to keep it in the refrigerator, but it does change with the temperature in the room.
Right.
So it gets harder.
Well, there's a whole thing. Now, we're talking, by the way, about, you know, this has nothing to do with shining shoes, but we'll get there. But when you're ingesting coconut oil, there's virgin versus refined.
Mm-hmm.
And the virgin variety is pretty much like it sounds. It's closest to its original natural form. It comes in a jar. It's mostly solid, even though it's called oil. And it melts very quickly. Happens to be delicious. But this is not for high heat cooking. It will go rancid. The refined kind is more processed, but this is the best for frying or high heat. Because I'll use it for stir fries and stuff. It's big in Thai cooking and whatnot.
I actually butter my toast in the morning with coconut oil.
Well, coconut oil and peanut butter, by the way, on toast. Oh, baby, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we'll have to try that.
And coconut oil and jam is
so
yummy.
Going back to, there's health benefits of coconut oil are crazy, or the, you know, like hair care, skin care, weight loss, increased immunity, proper digestion, relief from kidney problems, diabetes, HIV, cancer, dental care, bone strength. It goes
I can eat all the almond joys I want.
Yeah. So now we've digressed because there's a few different uses for coconut oil. Like obviously you can polish your shoes because Vanessa Farquharson told us that. Mm-hmm. You can use it on your skin in the shower after washing.
I do that. I keep a jar of it right in my shower. And then I don't have to oil up after or, you know, lather up after.
There's so many different ways to use it. Add it to your bath oil. Use it as a personal lubricant. Use it as cooking oil.
What?
Yeah,
that's
I know. We just kind of were going to gloss over that one.
Crack open a coconut, honey.
But we do have a link to a post that's 80 uses of coconut oil. So check it out. We're going to have it all on thegreendivas.com, the links and resources.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was fun. Remember to tune in to the Green Divas radio show next week to hear another installment of Sleeping Naked is Green, based on the book by Vanessa Farquharson. This segment was sponsored by Essentia, the outrageously comfortable natural memory foam mattress, so you can sleep green and healthy. Find out more at myessentia.com.
That is so fun. That is like a speed segment. I always feel like I've got, you know.
Well, that was so dense with information. My God, there's so much you can do.
Yeah.
So I love it.
We're listing all that stuff and
shine your shoes.
And I did a post about coconuts because I really couldn't. Coconut oil.
Do you have a lovely bunch?
Anyway, so I have links to all that fun stuff. It'll be on the post related to the show. So, Lisa, let's talk take two and do some hair, natural hair dye, DIY.
DIY is right. It's, it's my repurposing segment. So it's basically things that you probably have in your kitchen already rather than going out and purchasing hair dyes that are potentially toxic. I've been thinking about this a lot lately. This over the last year and a half, I decided I'm not going to use all these toxins to. I've been highlighting my hair for 20 years or so. And after a while, my hair got all blonde, and then I had to start low lighting it. So I was adding even more toxin to have the kind
more
of
chemicals.
Natural look
so
that
you went,
I was going
you went blonde.
For. So
that's your story. You're sticking to it.
I went natural, which is not blonde anymore.
That's her natural hair color.
My natural hair color. I have to say I'm very lucky. I don't have a lot of gray. Who knew? Because I've been doing my hair for so long, but I actually don't have a lot of gray. But in that whole process, I've been thinking about what kinds of things would I do if I don't like this new hair of mine that's coming, you know? And so I did a little homework, and I found out that if you want to go with red highlights or, you know, red up your hair a little bit, you can make a brew with beets and carrots.
Really?
And soak your hair in that.
Carrot top. Right?
Soak your hair for an hour or so and then rinse it out. And
yeah,
a lot
see,
of
like, your hair's too dark. It wouldn't do anything to your head.
Well,
would it?
It would.
I'm going to try it, actually.
Really?
We'll do a little experiment. Okay. Maybe I'll have little pictures of how they all turn out.
Oh, God, that'll be funny.
I'm kind of curious. You know, I like doing different things. Anyway, so if you want brown hair, you can actually use coffee.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense.
Thick,
it's stain,
deep,
right?
Dark.
All right. Now, I have to ask, and I can hear the audience just going, now, wait a minute. What kind of lasting effect is this on the color of hair? I mean, does it last or
well,
does it work?
Well, that's
consistent.
That's a good question, and I was going to talk about that. Part of that, you do have to do this over and over again. You know, you have to do, you have to repeat it several times before you get the effect that you want.
Rinse,
and then it
repeat,
will last.
Wash.
You know, you just have to experiment a little. So it may take you, you may have to do it several times to get the effect that you want, and then you'll have to do it again down the road.
See,
to
here's
keep
what
that
I'm
effect.
Thinking. Like, let's say I want to try the beet and carrot thing and be a carrot mm-hmm. top. Do I do that and put the stuff on my head, let it sit, and then wash my hair and it washes out? Or is that, you know what I mean?
You would wash your hair first so there's no dirt in your hair.
Okay.
And then you do whatever the dye solution is, and I have a couple other choices here to try. And then you leave it in for an hour or so with the beet stuff, and mm-hmm. then you just rinse it out.
Okay.
And then you see how that is. And
well,
then
I'm assuming you're going to have links on the page for all
of
this.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I will have instructions on
that. Well, Lisa did a post already. It's already up there.
Is it? Yeah, okay. It's already posted. That's right. We posted it yesterday.
Yep.
So you can check out. Now, if you have gray hair. Now, our sister has the prettiest gray-white hair.
Yeah.
It's
Snow
just
white,
beautiful.
Yeah.
And she was early in having white hair, but it was so pretty. And she's been wanting to have these low lights instead, you know, to sort of enhance it because everybody wants to do something different. But what they suggest, I found, was this recipe to boil one part dry organic sage with four parts water. You strain it and massage it into your hair, leave it in for about 40 minutes, and then rinse. It'll make your white hair shine.
Oh, I was going to say, does it make it green? I mean, you know,
no,
sage
it doesn't.
Is
it just
green.
Brings up, it makes it shine, and it brings up whatever color there is, if there's low lights or whatever. Shining basically makes the color enhanced better anyway. So, and then the blonde, this is something I did in high school. You know, get
lemon
some lemon juice, squeeze it on your hair, and then go gardening or riding your bike or spend some time out in the sun.
It really works.
Well, I have to tell you, I mean, I know that we've discussed this a lot in the past, and the reason for all this is hair coloring, if you go to the sun,
full of chemicals,
extremely toxic.
Yeah.
Ammonia
yeah.
and PPB, which is, oh my goodness.
You listed it in the article.
I can't pronounce it.
Just say alphabet.
But it is PPB is the toxin that you don't want to have. Almost all of the organic stuff.
Carcinogens also, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Carcinogens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're like
endocrine
and disruptors.
And all of this is going
into... nice hair. Yeah.
And all of this is going into your scalp, which, you know, really absorbs in through your skin, and it's just all...
Well,
when I
say, you know, to my loved ones, I don't care if you're gray, I get dirty looks. Women do not like to go gray.
You know...
We're going to have to change that paradigm and just be happy
so.
With it at some point.
I think
point,
it's nice to hear from a guy that he doesn't mind gray. He likes it.
Yeah.
Mikey likes it.
No, I think
he loves his woman.
Know,
that's what it's about.
I mean, a beautiful woman. I mean, just caring for yourself and being, you know, I mean, why put toxins in your body? I don't want to lose anybody because, you know, for nice hair, for, you know, perfectly colored hair, please. That's guys don't want to lose their women over whether they're blonde, brunette, or redhead.
All right. Everybody paying attention? That's straight from the horse's mouth.
So what I would like is people to try this and tell us how it works. Tell us that. And I'm going to experiment with it. Let us know how it works.
So you can go to thegreendivas.com and see Lisa's post with all these ideas, informations, links, and details.
I do mention some over-the-counter products that are natural as well.
Cool. Thank you so much.
Good.
Fun. Now.
Yeah. You ain't kidding.
Let's go talk guy stuff.
Well, about the military going green. Now, the military going green. They've been green for a long time.
I know. It's kind of funny.
But no, seriously, when you really think about it, they have the amount of energy that they expend in war, even preparing for war, is immense.
I'm sure.
Huge.
I'm sure.
Okay. We know about the military stockpile of oils. And that this country has always had a strategic stockpile. It's been tapped into a couple times during crisis.
But
they've been using and going after biodiesel for decades now, because and they're not using it in everything, because some of the jet fuels and even the fuels used in tanks still has to be a little more special, a little better than what that's, you know, civilian world uses. But
really? In what way does it have to, like, not be changed
refined.
As? Yeah. So it has to be really clean, so it doesn't have to be changed as often, not as dirty.
Well, most of those engines are specialized and need special fuels. When the Hummer first came out, which is, you know, a takeoff on what the military uses,
right.
Even the first Hummers, you had to have special diesel.
Oh, my gosh.
And of course, nowadays they've modified that because nobody could find the special diesel that they needed.
Special diesel.
Highly refined.
Are they using any algae?
Yes, they are.
Really?
Yes. And matter of fact, DARPA has done a lot of research. And
DARPA is, for those of us civilians that don't know?
Yes, let me find it. It is Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency.
Thank you.
And, of course, we end up benefiting from a lot of the research and the work that they do because, I mean, they, first of all, have deep pockets to do this research, yours and mine.
Yeah.
And they do come up with some amazing things. But the military, our military, we're looking at 60 to 75 million barrels of oil a year. And that's just to exist. We had war and then we're up and out, but could even double it.
Wow.
And of course, the history of militaries is if you run out of fuel, you're in big, big trouble.
Yeah. Right.
You know, you're going to lose the battle. You're going to have to go home. So, yes, they are, the Pentagon plans to get half its fuel from renewable sources by 2016.
Wow.
Hey, and believe me.
That's ambitious, isn't it?
Well, they can do it.
And they can do it.
And they can do it. And
that'll set a new standard, hopefully.
Well, a lot of the equipment that's being used in the field is solar. I mean, they don't need electricity, obviously. Of course, out in the desert and Afghanistan, they got plenty of sunshine.
I had read about that they're using a lot of solar to keep cool and.
Oh, absolutely! And even here at home, at the home bases, I know that there was an article out of Paris Island, which is the Marine Corps boot camp, where they were updating. And of course, there.
Did you go to Paris Island?
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm. One of the creepy things about that is they have one source of heat that is then piped into the barracks, and so. Over the roads and alongside the road, there are these steam lines that are constantly hissing and spewing steam. It just really adds to the,
creepiness of it.
Out of
as
your
you're driving there
with.
For the first time in a bus with a bunch of guys.
Yeah, at 2 a.m., yes, and being yelled at. It's definitely scary, but that's how they've heated those barracks for many, many years, and they're updating to a much better system. So, the military, they're talking about oil from algae.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
Not just they're not going around ponds. They're actually setting
building
up farms
or creating it, right?
That would right. And algae grows for those of us who have ever noticed how in June all of a sudden all the bodies of water very
blossoming.
Quickly turn green. Yeah. It grows very quickly.
Yeah.
So and it won't. It's not corn. We're not taking crops away or feed crops away.
No, I like that.
Is switchgrass in the
switchgrass is one of the things that's being brought in so many different ways, and that's in just. Worldwide.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, the one article that I read was about algae, and they're looking at, get this, $1 per gallon.
Really?
Yeah.
See,
cost.
So
that's
you know
the
what?
Cost.
And so what happens if they're able to, that's the cost.
That's okay. The cost. All that's right. A cost for a gallon of fuel for them to, produce it.
Well, that's good, right?
And it's
that's,
very,
that's
use,
great
it's
because,
a very low use of water as well, which is
right.
Great.
Well, think about, what our military costs. A lot of it is, housing and transporting.
Yeah,
bullets are expensive, but it's getting them there that's huge.
And
so the military is way ahead of us in being sustainable and using solar and biodiesels.
Well, I'm so glad to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm a peacenik, really, at heart. But, if you got to have these things, and apparently
we do.
Yes, we do. Then excellent.
Yeah,
excellent.
Well, the military has given us so many things. Our grandfather invented frozen food for the military.
He did. Yep. Yeah,
and
really.
Now we have TV dinners sold at the Bird's Eye.
Yes.
Yes. Well, good for Bird's Eye.
Thank you, William L. Maxson.
Indeed.
All right. Well, let's go on break, and then when we come back, we're going to get ready to talk to Prescott Frost.
I'm eager to do that.
Have you or someone you care about gone through cancer treatments recently? Chances for survival are better than ever. But to support complete healing, call Dr. Kathy Ostroff, a certified clinical nutritionist helping post-cancer patients bring their bodies back into balance. Her highly individualized programs are based on detailed blood analysis that highlight critical imbalances. Call Dr. Ostroff at 973-822-2529. That's 973-822-2529.
Now more from the Green Divas and the token testosterone green dude, Scott.
All right. Welcome back to the Green Divas radio show. You're on with Green Diva Meg. Lisa's taking pictures over there.
And Green Diva Lisa.
Green Dude Scott.
Green Dude, get your microphone working, babe.
Hey, microphone issues?
Listen, I just... Two things I want to mention before we get... Prescott. Prescott on the air. One is that Roe... Lel, our Green Diva Ro, brought in a pen for me made by Papermate that is made from all sustainable materials. And I don't really know what that means, but I'm going to look into it, and it's kind of cool. It's very, it's a nice, comfortable pen to play with.
Good.
And so, they're in the stores. They're there, and they're available. Now, you have to understand that it's not all recyclable. You have to take the guts out.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's fine. So
well,
what?
I'll look into it. Thank you so much. Ro comes in with little gifts every week. I love her.
She's good.
Not just because she's, you know, giving
well, she's
me
paying
gifts.
Attention. She is teaching us stuff that's good.
And I just want to mention about our Facebook page. You can find us if you look for Green Divas Radio Show or just Facebook.com/Green Divas. Mm-hmm. And we are doing a giveaway. G2 Organics has been kind enough to offer to give away. A little basket of products.
So you need to mention G2 Organics when you like us on Facebook. And
if you already like us, just mention it on our page, and we'll make sure to put you in the running. And when we hit 3,000, I think.
Right. We'll pull a name out of the hat. And that's just G2 Organics is another way to look really wonderful and not use toxic chemicals on our bodies.
Yeah. All right, listen, let's get and Prescott Frost, the organic rancher, farmer, and great-grandson of poet Robert Frost, on the air. Hi, Prescott.
Hi, Meg.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm great. And you're in Connecticut right now, right?
That I am.
Because normally you'd be in a different time zone, so lucky for you it's not that early.
No, I mean, I'm an early riser.
Well, you must be.
You must be as a farmer. I saw the weather this morning, and it looked like you guys are going to get some winter weather out there.
Yeah. We had a little snow, but getting ready for more.
Yeah, I have driven through Bassett before.
Uh-huh.
I've been driving out to South Dakota for 20 years now, and 10 years of it was from the East Coast, and 10 years was from... from Austin. So I've driven all different routes in that area to get to South Dakota. And what I really so appreciate what you're doing, because I have watched these little farm towns drying up. So tell us a little bit about what your farm is all about.
Yeah. I mean, there aren't any farms left, are there, really, when you drive through the middle of America?
No, and you can't find a healthy meal either.
No, you can see the farms on TV, but they don't. But the reality is that after the last 20 or 30 years, the people have been replaced by money, by capital, by equipment and chemicals and fertilizer and all that stuff. And the population of Bassett has been cut in half since the train line left in 1986. And it's just kind of a downhill slope. It's sad. Yeah.
It is. So what brought you to... back to farming? I know that you were a investment banker or a broker at one point.
Yeah, I had some family farmland, some land that had been in my family since the turn of the last century, and that passed down generation to generation. And when it came to my brother and sisters and myself, I was in about in 99 or 2000 in there, and I said, you know, it was in Illinois, and we were raising corn and soybeans the conventional way. We had a farm manager that managed our property for us, and we got our check like everybody else on the coasts. Mm-hmm. Most of the farmland in the United States is absentee owned now and managed by professional managers who make a phone call and say, okay, it's time to fertilize, or it's time to harvest, or it's time to plant, or whatever it is. People don't really live on the farms anymore.
Mm-mm.
Do you think, I'm just going to stop really quick. I have a question, because the farm bill is on my mind. I've been reading a bit about the farm bill coming up. They were trying to sneak it into some session last week without telling everybody. But do you think, how does the farm bill play into this industrialized system?
It's key. In 1972, Earl Butz, the Secretary of Agriculture, said two things, which I remember. One was plant fence row to fence row. In other words, they ripped up the fences so you couldn't have livestock anymore, just plant grain. And the other was get big or get out. And that was about the same time that McDonald's was really kicking in. And they used a farm bill to subsidize corn. I mean, that corn is the number one thing subsidized. That's really what farm subsidies are all about. And they subsidized the little farmer right out of the business. It was too much of a hassle. You know, they needed to concentrate the agricultural industry so that it could be managed by capital instead of labor. That's my theory anyway. And I think that's what you've seen happen over all this time. But I said to my brother and sisters, either we're going to get out of this, you know, we were going to sell it because I don't want to be involved in this system. I knew enough about it. I'd been exploring it for 15 or 20 years, or we're going to go organic. And they said to me, well, how are we going to go organic? And I said, I'll go do it. That's how I got it.
All right.
Well, that was quite a change that you had to make. What are some of the biggest changes that you had to consider to going organic?
You know, it was a philosophical deal.
Yeah.
So, you know, it wasn't that hard to figure it out. It was like, take our money and put it somewhere else so that we're not supporting this system that we don't agree with, or, you know, or make the change and see if we can make it work. And there were others in the neighborhood in Illinois that were organic. There was a farmer named Jack Arisman who raises cattle in my neighborhood there. And I used him as a mentor and figured it out. Started raising organic grain, corn and soybeans, and then wheat in the rotation. But as a result of having to rest fields, we had the fields in grass for 2 years or 3 years. And that brought me to the question of, okay, so what do we do with the grass? How do we make money off of that? And I started buying cows, and kind of one thing led to another.
And that's how you ended up out in Nebraska instead of in Illinois.
Yes. I started raising beef cattle on the farm in Illinois to eat the grass and to fertilize and to seed. They do all three. You know, they're harvesting the grass, they're fertilizing the grass, and they're seeding the grass. And you don't really have to do much.
That's kind of handy.
There's no tractor, there's no petroleum, there's no fertilizer that you have to buy. It's all the cows pretty much doing everything. So started raising cattle, got interested in the idea of organic grass-fed beef. I felt like that was a place where it was important that somebody went and that people would sooner or later be there too. And in doing that, I then convinced my family to go to the premier cattle raising region in the United States. And I said, if we're going to do this, let's do it correctly. And so we're in the sand hills of Nebraska, which I like to, I kind of compare to the Napa of wine.
Cattle.
You know, it's the place to raise beef. And if you've driven through there, you know why.
I do. Are there a lot of other traditional farmers that are starting to get this message, or what's going on in the general population of traditional farmers?
I think it's very, very difficult for them economically and socially to make a change to organic. The banker is not going to lend you money to do organic. That's your number one problem.
Right.
They need to see a standard conventional operation that looks like 98% of the other operations around town. And they put it on a spreadsheet and they go, yes, we'll loan you the money, or no, we won't. You walk in there and say, I want to do something organic, they go, no, we won't. Hey, good luck, you're on your own.
Except that
that's a huge barrier. And then the other one is social. Your brother is the fertilizer dealer, and you go to church with the, you know, everybody's vested in the conventional system.
Yeah.
So if you say you're going to go outside of that, you're up for a decade of heat. You know, it's tough.
Well, I was just thinking about this slow money movement, and I don't know how familiar you are, and I'm sure you are familiar with it as a farmer. But there's this whole movement of investors that want to invest in smaller farms and independent food system, regional farm systems, and I don't know how many there are in the Midwest groups, but I know that they're big in California and out here. And it may not be just called slow money, but I think there are other organizations that are starting to really, because there are people like us that do care, that do, you know, want to see these things. And I think it is a transition.
Is there anything?
It's absolutely true. They need the mechanism to be able to do that. We sold our farm in Illinois. It's still certified organic. We sold it to a group of people. A guy put together a consortium out of Chicago. People that were invested, investing $25,000 and $50,000 a pop, and they came together and they bought our farm, and they still manage it organic in Illinois. And so that's exactly the kind of thing that you're talking about.
Well, and I love folks like you who are thinking innovatively and thinking forward and stepping out maybe a little ahead of the curve and showing that it can be done and it can be done well and thoughtfully. It's like you're a pioneer there.
So my question is, what can we do as individuals besides purchasing the products that come from your – is there anything that we can do to sort of – move this transition forward and get people on board and change the attitude maybe of local farmers or traditional farmers?
It's not so much about changing the attitude of the farmers, I think it's the consumer. If people buy it, the farmers will switch.
Yep.
But I people don't really think yet in terms of sustainable meat or vegetables, milk. And those are the first things that changed. Meat takes longer. It's a longer lead time, three mm-hmm. years from when you buy a cow to when you have something to sell.
Right.
And so there's a lot of capital involved, too. When farmers see the demand for a superior product going up, they'll start to change and produce.
It's so true.
But they won't unless people in the city, 60% of the population in the United States lives on the coast. Those are the people that have to buy organic grass-fed meat. People mm-hmm. in the middle of the country, not interested. By and large, because of those things that I mentioned before. So for me, the interesting thing is bridging the two worlds. And you can look at it from a political perspective or an economic, but I look at it from a food perspective. Mm-hmm. These people produce it. These people need to consume it. And mm-hmm. so if I could convince everybody that beef that they're eating is just like a can of soda pop that the kids are drinking, full of corn.
Right.
Yeah.
If everybody could get that message really quick, then they go, wow, I'm just drinking a can of soda pop every time I eat this burger. I need to do something. I need to go buy juice, organic juice instead.
Well,
it costs, three times.
Oops.
But it's better for me and better for my children and better for the land, better for the planet, better for the animals, better for everything.
And specifically, there are, for our listeners, there are specific things that are better about this meat. It's 10 times more beta carotene, did I read?
Yeah. It's just way, way healthier. The omega-3, 6,
three times
ratio deal. It's better for you than salmon. It people think of meat in a negative way, but the truth is that I like to think of it as solar beef. Our cows are raised on the energy from the sun.
Uh-huh.
Their cows, 98% of the cows in the United States are raised on petroleum, whether it's the fertilizer. The corn is a petro-based product from beginning to end.
There was an article that really turned me before a lot of these books came out now about the food systems
and the movies.
Right, in the movies, Food Inc. or whatever. But there was an article in the New York Times Magazine like 10 years ago where this guy, it was the first time I'd really read about what corn-fed beef is all about and why that involves so many. Now they have to have antibiotics because the cows can't even, they can't digest the corn properly. So it becomes a nightmare.
Their stomachs aren't built to do it. So we're trying to buck a system. The reason is that it takes 30 months to finish a grass-fed animal, 24 to 30 months, and it takes 12 to 16 months to finish a corn-fed. So your capital is tied up for half the time. You get a much faster return on an investment.
Well, plus, once again, it's corn, which there seems to be subsidized extremely well, and thus it's pushed. And,
imagine that the first primary for presidential elections is in Iowa.
So
if you go to Iowa and say you're against corn subsidies, then you are not going to be elected president of the United States, period.
That's why the farm bill is like a beast, because nobody wants to say no. Politically, it's suicide to go against the farm bill.
Nobody wants to talk about it. And in Europe, they're way, way ahead of us. No GMOs allowed.
Right.
And they subsidize transition to organic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That makes sense to me.
Well, here, if you did that, you'd be going up against, you know, all the, I mean, you know, they're down there Occupy Wall Street saying it's the bankers, but it's the food industry is managed the same way by a few big companies that mm-hmm. are not interested in doing anything different. They want to control the seed supply. They want to control, you know, they want to control food. It's an age-old thing.
Yeah, power and food, I guess. Now, listen, how can people find your particular beef?
They can go Prescott Frost, www.prescottfrost.com, and buy it online. We flash freeze it at the peak of freshness. We harvest it at the right time of the year when it's way it should be, and then we sell it online. We ship it, you know, FedEx with a dry ice.
Now, are you going to move into some other product outside of beef? Are you looking at buffalo?
Okay.
You didn't hear it from me.
Well,
maybe we'd like to, you know, be in work across the spectrum, the whole meat, you know, profile. But we're just kind of getting our feet going, or, you know, just getting our feet on the ground with this marketing it.
I love that you call yourself an organic rancher, but I really think of you as an activist, and you're really taking action in showing folks how this can be done, and I'm grateful that you're speaking about it and you're doing it.
Yeah, I think I have a different perspective that, you know, than I'm familiar with both worlds. It's been quite an adventure to live in the red states as I have for the last decade, and a lot of people romanticize going back and maybe buying a blueberry farm and doing something like that. I was 10 miles from Archer Daniels Midland's largest processing plant in the world, right in the heart of corn country. And it's a more of a foreign country in a way than if I went and spent the, you know, 3 months in Rome or Paris. I'd be mm-hmm. with more like-minded people there than I am out in the middle of the agricultural world. But
I understand.
I picked up a thing or two doing it, I think.
Oh,
well,
good.
Thank you for being a sustainable food pioneer, and thanks for calling in today. We will stay in touch, and folks can look at our website to find out more and how to find out more about Prescott Frost Farms and beef.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me and helping me get the word out.
All right.
Bet.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow. Yeah. So I like that. He's farmer activist, right?
Oh, it's all the stuff that I've been fantasizing about in terms of the food world for years, and I'm so glad he's doing it.
Well, and he probably didn't have the opportunity to talk as much. Like, we've done a lot of reading on his website, so I would encourage folks to go to his website. There's a lot of information about,
especially the health benefits of the food. Yeah. I mean, we started to talk about some of the things, but there really are several health benefits.
Well, like one of the things that he said, and a really good point, is until people change their habits and where they, you know, source their, you know, their nutrients, it's not going to change. We have to feed the world, and of course, today with the economy, mm-hmm. and unfortunately, a lot of organic products are more expensive.
Yeah, but you know what I think? This
but
is how I do
less
it.
Anyway.
I just eat less of it. I don't eat a lot.
We're going to say the same thing.
No, yeah.
All right, I understand. But what I'm telling is you got to change people's minds before the farming community. And let me tell you, I know what he's talking about, because out in Western Jersey, I was at City Board. He came out with 150 acres. And what was I thinking, calling myself a farmer and buying fertilizer along with them?
But you're Farmer
Scotty. Yeah. Well, there are generational farms out there.
Yeah.
And of course, big dairy and corn in New Jersey. And let me tell you, you don't belong.
Yeah, you're
and
like
out
an
there,
outsider, right?
I mean, that's Jersey. You get out to the Midwest where they really farm.
Uh-huh.
You don't go out there and just plop yourself down with your organic farm, because they're like, yeah.
You mentioned the O word, and they roll their eyes. Like, oh, he's one of those.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and you know, and it's about health, too. People don't have a consciousness in that region of the world for about good health in terms of what they eat.
It'll change. Now, listen, you know, when I lived in the Berkshires in the 80s, we had, like, starving organic farmers that were dedicated to and they helped. They helped get this thing going.
They weren't starving. They had their own wonderful foods. Well, that's another thing that we
really
need to get out.
But you know what I mean? They were not making a lot of money because...
No, I understand, but that's one of the things we all have to learn, how to feed ourselves.
Well, there's that. There is that.
And that's what's so disturbing when I drive through these little towns that are all drying up, is that you cannot get a healthy meal. This is people that used to have to garden and grow their own dinner food.
Yeah.
It's the time of the victory
garden. Everybody needs to learn.
It's so far gone.
But that's another show for another
day. That's another
show. I know. It's a big...
Hey, next week we have a fun show. We have Jeff Yeager, the ultimate cheapskate. Do you remember? Were you with us when we interviewed? He's really fun. He's written a few books, but he's on NBC a lot as the ultimate cheapskate on the Today Show and whatnot.
Yeah, he's fun.
He's a lot of fun, but, you know, we're going to talk about... Because, of course... A lot of what he's talking about is green. You know, it's less consumerism, reusing things. And so we're going to talk about that and getting cheap for the holidays.
Well, and we'll start doing more gift ideas for some of our shows in the future as well. Next week, we'll talk about some gift ideas. Every week now through December, we'll talk about that.
Yeah. And if you have any ideas, you know, write us on Facebook or, you know, check us out and let us know. So I guess that's it for today. I hope everybody has
already.
Have a great green week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Green Divas Radio Show. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, follow them on Facebook and Twitter, and don't forget to visit the blog at thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com. And remember to share the good green news with friends and family.